Christmas, Neatly Tied Up, by Livia Lupin. Braided in for mature. Draco scowled and took in the scene in front of him. Can't you two do anything the simple way? His irritation was clear. Greg shrugged. Hey, it's not my fault. I wanted to just knock him over the head and drag him here, unconscious. But Vince insisted on being civilized about the whole thing. So that required, you know. His voice trailed off and he gestured vaguely. Ropes and things. Greg shrugged again. I mean, he wasn't exactly cooperative, you know. His voice was accusing. Draco groaned, his eyes falling shut in the hopes that when he opened them again, a different sight would meet them. This was not what he had had in mind. At all. He opened one eye cautiously and groaned again. Nope. Same thing. Right in front of him, stretched on the hearth of the fireplace in the arithmetic classroom, tightly bound by thick, sturdy rope and very prettily gagged with a green and silver silk Slytherin school tie, completely immobile and patently furious about it, was Harry Potter. The Gryffindor was glaring daggers at him, and Draco was already dreading removing the gag. He would be in for a number of choice comments when that time came. And then there was a strong possibility of physical retribution when he untied the other boy. That might be tricky. Very tricky. Draco winced at the thought. He really should have been more explicit in his instructions, he mused. But honestly, they were 7th years, and reasonably talented wizards, actually. You think they could manage a few silencing spells and a full body bind between the two of them? Granger had done it first year, fuck's sake. Of course, he reasoned, it wasn't so much that they could manage to cast the spells, as it was the fact that it had never occurred to them to do so in the first place. He rolled his eyes. Why bother with magic when you can just use brute force? And when he really thought about it, it was all Potter's fault anyway. He had only wanted to talk to Potter. But the other boy hadn't exactly been open to Draco's repeated overtures, so he finally resorted to asking Vince and Greg to bring Potter to him. He thought they'd just magically bind him and levitate him to the arithmancy classroom, and he knew Potter wouldn't be happy about it, but he figured he'd be able to smooth all that over once he had actually got to talk to the other boy. Instead, however, they trussed him up very tightly and gagged him, after which they'd hauled him upstairs like a sack of grain, and Potter looked plenty pissed off about it. Not that Draco blamed him, really. Although the green of the tie really brought out the color of those eyes. Draco yanked his mind back to the present and sighed. Okay. We can argue about your methodology later. He waved one hand toward the door dismissively. Now get lost. The other two boys obligingly headed out, arguing amiably as they left. I told you he'd be pissed off that we tied Potter up like that. Greg's voice was triumphant. Then snorted. Yeah, like, he'd have been really pleased if we'd whacked Potter over the head. He specifically said no damage, remember? The voices faded as the door fell shut behind them. But right before it closed completely, it was shoved open again. Oh yeah, during the process, we relieved him of this. He'd probably want it back at some point. The slim holly wand flipped gracefully through the air, end over end, and Draco caught it automatically. Then the door shut completely and he was alone with Harry. With a thoroughly bound and gagged Harry. And while that scenario certainly wasn't without its appeal, within its own specific context, It wasn't the way he had hoped to begin the conversation that he'd been planning for months now. Draco worried the smooth wood of the wand with his bright index finger and turned apprehensively to face the wand's angry owner. "Hello, Potter." His voice was carefully neutral, polite, as though nothing in the world was wrong. He couldn't, however, quite force himself to meet the other boy's furious eyes. He stared, instead, at Harry's mouth, the red lips parted by the silk gag. It was a shockingly sensual sight, and he jerked his gaze hurriedly away from it only to meet the glittering contempt and anger in the Gryffindor's stare. "Look, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen. I mean, I wanted to talk to you, and you wouldn't let me, and so I did ask Crabbe and Goyle for a bit of help. But I never dreamed that they'd get all carried away like this." The words tumbled out now, prompted by his desire to explain, to make that look disappear, to somehow get to a point where he could tell Harry what he'd been wanting to for ages now. Ever since Harry had gone public with the fact that he was gay. His flow of words ceased finally, as Draco realized that even though the situation wasn't at all the way he had planned it, he did have Harry's undivided attention for at least the immediate future. He drew in a deep breath and let it slowly out. "Look, I really do just want to tell you a few things. I'll loosen the bonds." He hesitated only for a moment. "I take them off completely, but I'm not sure that would be a good thing for my general health and safety right now. But if you promise not to scream the castle down, I'll take off the gag." Placing Harry's wand carefully on a nearby table, he approached the bound boy warily, as though he could somehow exact retribution while still securely tied up. He reached around Harry's head for the knot, his fingers fumbling at the silk as Harry leaned forward to give him better access. He stopped suddenly, meeting Harry's eyes, and asked cautiously, "Do you promise?" In response, Harry rolled his eyes disparagingly, but nodded, and Draco nodded back, more to reassure himself than anything else before unfastening the knot and pulling the silk away. To his enormous surprise, once able to speak, Harry didn't say anything at all. He moistened his lips with the tip of his tongue, and just continued to pin Draco with that defiant, contemptuous stare. Draco cleared his throat nervously. "Is your mouth dry? Do you want some water?" "No, Malfoy. I do not want water. I just want you to get on with whatever it is you intend to do to me now that you have me here, so that you can be finished with it. Since apparently that's the only way I'm going to ever get away from you." Draco bristled slightly at the tone. "I told you. I just wanted to talk to you. If you'd stopped to listen when I tried before, or even answer my owls, I wouldn't have had to take such drastic measures. And I've no intention of doing anything to you. I've already apologized for what Vince and Greg did. But you really can't blame me for not untying you. I mean, at least not until I'm safely out of reach." Belatedly remembering his promise to make the Gryffindor more comfortable, he reached into his sleeve and produced his wand. "But I will loosen that rope a bit." He pointed his wand and incanted, watching the bunched muscle of Harry's shoulders relax slightly as the rope holding him loosened enough to allow it. And when Harry sighed in relief, Draco relaxed a bit himself. "Okay. It's like this. You know, back at the beginning of the term, when you told everyone you were gay..." Harry's chin lifted. "I did not tell everyone I was gay. I told my housemates." Draco lifted one shoulder in a defiant shrug. "Yeah, well, that included Finnegan. So it's the same thing as telling everyone." "It isn't! Not at all!" Harry was stubborn. "That part isn't important." Draco was impatient. "That's not the part I wanted to talk about." One of Harry's eyebrows rose, and his voice was overly patient. "Malfoy, there isn't any part of this that I want to talk about to you. If you've gone to all this trouble to get me here so you can make sarcastic remarks about the fact that I like boys, then don't bother. I doubt you could come up with anything to say to me that my cousin hasn't already said. And he doesn't even know for sure that I'm gay. He's just speculating. So if you really feel a need to be that juvenile, then go ahead. But forgive me if I don't pay much attention. Harry paused and then continued, his eyes narrowing speculatively. And why all the privacy, anyway? Mocking me in public is practically your life's work. Because I don't want to mock you. Draco's voice was quiet. I want to tell you that I know how you feel. Harry let out a sharp bark of laughter. You can't possibly know how I feel unless you're gay, too. Draco didn't say anything. He simply kept holding Harry's gaze and waited for comprehension to appear on the Gryffindor's expressive features. He was gratified when Harry's eyes widened in genuine surprise. You're gay? Draco grinned disarmingly at the shocked look on the dark-haired boy's face. Well, let's see. I definitely prefer kissing boys, and I'm rather strongly drawn to the physical attributes singular to boys that make them different from girls. And I don't find girls sexually appealing at all. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm gay, Potter. Harry digested that in silence for a few minutes, and then looked back up, meeting the grey eyes with a guarded, wary look. So, you just wanted to tell me that you're gay too? That's what all this is about? No, that's not it. Now it was Draco's turn for exaggerated patience. I wanted to tell you that I think you're very attractive. I like you. Harry's jaw dropped, and Draco continued hurriedly. And I've noticed you looking at me. You know, looking. His confidence wavered a bit as Harry's look grew defiant and belligerent. In class. And when we fly. Harry's face didn't change. If anything, the look grew more pronounced, taking on an edge of the contempt that had been so apparent earlier. And well, his courage deserted him, and his voice trailed off. Malfoy, if you're thinking that I find you attractive, think again. Just because you cross my line of vision occasionally doesn't mean I'm interested in taking a tumble with you, or even that I'm curious about how you kiss. I look at Hermione all the time, and I don't want to snog her. Draco bit nervously at his bottom lip. Harry had a point, of course. And then again, there had been something in those stares he'd intercepted. He was sure of it. They weren't anything like the way the other boy looked at Granger. Or, as best Draco could tell, anyone else, actually. Shoving his hands into the back pockets of his trousers, he considered his options. He'd hoped, of course, that Harry would admit he was interested, or at the very least that it was possible that he might be. Draco had counted on that. He had absolutely counted on everything he thought he had seen being real, and counted on the Gryffindor's honest nature to at least give him that much. Doubt rose in his mind again. Maybe he had been wrong. He really didn't think he was, but he might be. Gathering his courage, Draco moved slowly forward. He might as well find out. After all, he'd never have a chance like this one again. A wry smile tugged at his mouth. If he wasn't right, he'd never get within yards of Harry ever again, most likely. So he might as well take advantage of the only opportunity he'd ever have. Are you positive that you aren't even the least bit curious to know how I kiss? Crouching down next to the other boy, he lifted one hand and slid it gently around Harry's jaw. Harry froze in shock, his eyes wide behind the wire frames of his glasses, and his mouth slack and slightly open. Harry looked, Draco decided, like he was practically asking to be kissed. And he leaned forward, his own eyes falling shut, and his mouth moving very close to the parted lips in front of him. Oh, Harry. The words came out on a sigh before Draco could stop them, heartfelt and rich with desire. And when he opened his eyes, he knew everything he felt was clearly visible in them, but he couldn't help it. Harry, let me kiss you. The request was soft, almost hesitant. For one beautiful, heart-stopping moment, Draco thought Harry was going to acquiesce. But then the green eyes hardened, and he pulled his head sharply back, breaking the gentle contact with Draco's hand. Well, I can hardly stop you, can I? Just know that it's not what I want. The words were stiff and cool, and Draco felt everything crash down around him, his disappointment crushing. Rising immediately, he backed away, his own face hardening and his pride rising to his rescue. "I'm not in the habit of forcing my attentions where they're not wanted, Potter." Turning on his heel, he made for the door, stopping when he got there to pull his wand out and point it at the Gryffindor. "I'll go now. I'm going to loosen the bonds enough so that you'll be able to get yourself out of them. Your wand's there on the table. And I'm sorry again for the way Vince and Greg got you here." Draco forced his words to be even and impersonal, but he felt sick to his stomach, and he wanted nothing more than to be back in the safety of his room in the Slytherin dungeons, where he could give in to the achingly bitter disappointment inside, instead of pretending it didn't matter. He hesitated only briefly before continuing on, and he could hear his voice waver slightly. And I'm really, truly sorry for what I'm about to do. But it really is the only way. I'm going to memory charm you." "Memory charm?" Harry's voice was mildly alarmed. "I don't need for you to do that." Draco frowned, troubled. "It's not that I think you can't deal with a memory. It's just that..." He hesitated again, longer this time, and then sighed softly and shrugged. "I guess it's okay if I tell you the reason why. Because you won't remember it anyway. I don't mind losing to you, Harry. I really don't. At least, not as much as I used to. But things like Quidditch matches and house points are one thing. Having you know that I've lost part of myself to you is entirely different." His smile was bitter, and his voice was as well. "I, on the other hand, will always know it. And now I've also got the memory of today to add to it, you know, so I can remember that in addition to the fact that you can't stand me, you also find me physically repulsive." He paused thoughtfully. "Maybe I ought to have Vince and Greg memory charm me, of course." His tone turned sarcastic as he recalled with reluctant amusement their methods of carrying out his request. "I'd probably end up having my entire term of arithmancy wiped out instead." His self-mocking humor faded suddenly, leaving him empty and sad. He stared at the boy on the floor, his eyes wistful. "Goodbye, then. I won't bother you again." Before the other boy could say anything, he pointed his wand and incanted softly. First the memory charm, and then the spell to loosen the bonds. When they slipped easily away, so did Draco. Draco kept strictly to himself as the next week passed. The Christmas holidays were nearly there, and it was easy, Draco discovered, to avoid almost every sort of contact and conversation with people, because everyone was so caught up in their own plans. He had no desire to talk to anyone, and he carefully avoided Gryffindors in general, and Harry Potter in particular. He thought once or twice that he caught Harry staring intently at him, but he had quickly dropped his own eyes and found an excuse to leave. He had no desire to have the constant ache inside magnified by remembering the humiliation of Harry's rejection. The only thing that made life reasonably bearable was the fact that Harry didn't remember any of it. He dropped easily into his seat in Defense Against the Dark Arts and contemplated the upcoming lesson. They'd spent the past week discussing mind control, specifically the Imperius Curse, and they'd all revisited the practical lesson of 3 years ago, when they'd had the spell cast on them and had been taught to resist it. A number of his classmates were quite good at it. Potter, of course, was incredibly skilled at resisting it. Draco sighed. He was quite good, too, but no one noticed, particularly. They'd been talking about more minor forms of mind control, and Draco was jolted out of his reverie by the sound of Professor Lupin's voice calling the class to attention to begin the day's lesson. "I know the holidays are almost here, but if you can pull your minds away from Christmas just long enough to get through this lesson, I'd appreciate it. Now, memory charms. They can be tricky things to get just right, and some people are much less susceptible to them than others. In fact, the more strength you have in resisting things like Imperius, the easier it is to let smaller, weaker forms of mind control bounce right off you. Things like memory charms, and glamour charms and anything else that suggests mind control can be easily avoided by those proficient in resisting Imperius. The words echoed through Draco's head, and he froze as realization washed over him. Harry's ability to resist Imperius was practically legendary. He'd been able to do it for years now, and he'd probably been practicing since then. Draco's memory charm probably been child's play for him to deflect. He'd even known it was coming because Draco had told him he was going to do it. That meant that Harry could remember everything. He knew. Dreading what he would see, but unable to resist, Draco looked over at the Gryffindor side of the room and straight into Harry's intent gaze. A flush rose in Draco's face, and he held Harry's eyes just long enough to see the slight smile appear on the dark-haired boy's face before breaking the eye contact and turning back to his own desk. He stared fixedly at his books until the lesson ended, and as soon as they were released from class, he fled. At dinner that evening, Draco stared down at his plate, which was filled with all his favorite things, but he had no appetite. Nor was he much in the Christmas spirit of things. The Great Hall, in its glory, decorated for the holiday with the traditional 12 huge trees, lit candles, and spectacular ornaments. There was so much greenery and ribbon hanging in the air that the school owl seemed to appear out of nowhere to drop a missive next to his water glass. It was a note from Snape, requesting Draco's assistance in an important matter. Draco was to meet Snape immediately after dinner in the Arithmancy classroom. Draco frowned, puzzled. It wasn't at all like his head of house to be so vague about something important, but Snape wasn't at dinner, so he couldn't ask. His frown deepened. After all, the handwriting certainly looked like Snape's. Shrugging, he shoved the parchment into his pocket and picked up his tea, downing the last of it and heading out of the Great Hall. Whatever the matter was, when Snape said immediately, he meant it. He arrived at the Arithmancy room and pushed the door open. Professor Snape! The candles along the wall were lit, as was a fire in the huge fireplace, and the room was warm and welcoming. His gaze strayed unconsciously toward the hearth, where Harry had been lying bound a week ago. The disappointment and sadness rose again, and he pulled his eyes firmly away from the spot, walking further into the room. Sir? It wasn't until the door locked, with a quiet click, that realization dawned. And before he could pull out his wand, the whispered spell took hold, and Draco felt himself immobilized. Before he could fall, strong arms caught him and lowered him gently to the floor, and a distinctive voice spoke softly in his ear. "Sorry about the methods, Malfoy, but I've been wanting to talk to you, and the temptation for a bit of retaliation was quite strong." Harry crouched next to him, his face enigmatic. "There's no silencing spell, you know. You can speak." Draco stared back, his eyes huge and giving away far more than he would have wanted. He remained silent for a long moment before offering finally, "So, you do remember." A crooked grin flashed across Harry's face. "All of it. I was damn tempted to gag you with my tie, just for the sight of it." At the words, Draco's eyes fell to the length of loosely knotted red and gold silk around the other boy's neck, and then lifted warily again to meet green eyes alight with humor. "If you're not going to do that, what are you going to do?" Harry's smile broadened. "I told you. I just want to talk. Comfortable?" His voice was easy. Draco's eyes narrowed, his initial fear and dread of the unknown morphing into the more familiar sense of frustration and irritation at so easily falling into Harry's trap and having their situation so neatly reversed. At least Harry had spared him the painful bite of rope against his wrist. "Comparatively, yes." Harry laughed. "You're quick, you know that, Malfoy? I like that. In fact..." His voice trailed off suggestively, and he pulled away slightly, gazing speculatively at the magically bound Slytherin. "In fact, one of the things I wanted to tell you is that I like quite a few things about you." Surprised into complete silence, Draco waited, hope rising cautiously inside, and Harry continued. "Of course, I only wanted to tell you that after I realized that the memory was really a memory, and not some sort of weird daydream like I thought it was at first. Don't get me wrong, I was really pissed off at you last week. He grinned again disarmingly. For any number of reasons, most of which you're likely well aware of. But after I cooled off a bit and thought things over, I decided you deserved to know the truth about a couple of points. For one thing, you were right. I do look at you a lot. And it is because I think you're attractive. I also like the fact that you were honest enough to tell me that you like me before trying to get me to say that to you. And I guess that's pretty much it, really. He rose and moved to a nearby table, hoisting himself easily atop it. The binding spell will fade in just a bit. And while you're waiting, there are a few more things I wouldn't mind telling you. Draco drew in a sharp breath. He could already feel the binding spell releasing its hold, and he waited impatiently for it to fade completely. Like what? Harry tipped his head to one side and studied Draco thoughtfully.
Well, I really, really like the fact that you didn't kiss me.
The hope that had been rising in Draco fell again, and the hurt that had been easing with every sentence Harry uttered returned full force. He turned away from the other boy and pulled himself upright, the remnants of the spell finally dissipating and allowing full freedom of movement.
Well, I told you. I don't force myself on people who have no interest in me.
He kept his back turned to the Gryffindor, certain that his hurt feelings would be only too clear on his face.
And along those lines, Potter, I'll just be on my way now. You made your point, and it's well taken.
Draco moved toward the door, but before he could take more than one step, his arm was grasped and his progress halted. Harry moved to stand directly in front of him, and it took every ounce of control Draco possessed to meet the other boy's eyes.
Yes.
I'm not finished. I listened to everything you wanted to say. Don't you think you owe me the same courtesy? Or do I have to bind you again? Draco's chin lifted proudly.
I don't run away, Potter. Have your say. I'm listening.
Harry's smile flashed again briefly. I like your spirit, too. But what I really wanted to tell you is the reason that I liked the fact that you didn't kiss me. You knew damn well that even though I'd said no, you could get me to say yes. You knew that if you kissed me, I would have responded even though I said I didn't want it. It would have been a fairly easy way to take a pretty major hit at my pride, and you didn't, even though it cost you a lot in that same department.
Draco closed his eyes, remembering yet again the crushing blow to both his pride and his feelings when Harry had so caustically refused him. For a moment he couldn't speak, and when he finally did, his tone was wary.
Yeah, well, I also thought you wouldn't remember that, right? To his surprise, Harry laughed softly.
True.
Draco opened his eyes.
Are you finished?
His feelings were scraped raw again, and he wanted to escape to nurse them.
Actually, no. There are two more things I want to say.
Draco braced himself.
Yes.
Harry lifted one hand and slid it along Draco's jaw, just the way Draco had done to him the last time they'd been in the same room, lifting it until Draco was forced to look into Harry's eyes. Gentle affection and humor glimmered there. And when he spoke, his voice was soft but firm.
The first one is that I like it a lot when you call me Harry.
He pulled a small sprig of greenery from his pocket and pointed his wand at it. It levitated to hover over them, and he smiled wickedly.
And the second is that you're standing underneath the mistletoe.